This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show. I'm Ike Spike and Fritz. Every Wednesday at 4 o'clock, Brian Baldinger joins us, our Odyssey NFL Insider. Insider Call is brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store. Baldy, how are we doing?
I'm doing great. It's good to be with you guys, man. Life is good.
Life is good. So that Eagles' defensive performance, I think, not only outstanding, just a complete curveball. I don't think any of us were expecting it. What did you see scheme-wise, if anything, that they did differently on Sunday than they've done previously this year?
Well, I mean, they wanted to stop Clint Kubiak and Alvin Kamara's outside zone, so they stemmed from their base 3-4 defense to taking Zach Bond and putting him up at the line of scrimmage and basically playing a 6-1 diamond with Nakobe at middle linebacker. And they said to the defensive line, they said, stop catching blocks and go attack the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. So Jalen, Jordan, Booker, Brandon, they attacked the line of scrimmage, and they did not give the outside zone run to Alvin Kamara to the offense. And so if you want to stop the run in this league, it's all about gap defenses. Ike knows this better than anybody. I don't care what defense you play. They're all gap defenses. And they got their heads in the gap, and they penetrated. And, you know, they made Kamara stutter his feet and stop, and he had very few holes. So you go from giving up, you know, 6.5 yards a carry to 2.5 yards a carry. But the late stemming and the shift to Zach Bond, I think, was exactly what they needed to stop that particular run offense.
So the Saints aren't running offense with three wide receivers a lot. So is that something that the Eagles can replicate moving forward doing that, or does that get them into more trouble putting that extra – can they put the extra guy on the line of scrimmage way in the future?
It does depend on formation.
Yeah.
You know, the Saints are a two-back team. They're a big two-tight-end team. They're not a big 11-personnel team the way most teams are, the way Tampa is, for example. But, you know, against that look, it was the right move. And they did it like they had, I counted, they had 13 first down runs. And New Orleans ran for 24 yards on those 13 runs. Mm. So, you know, the big down is, you know, to stop the run is you got to do it on first down and keep them out of, you know, second and five and second and fours the way Atlanta and Green Bay had them for much of the game in those first 2 weeks. And so it really discouraged them from staying with it, and Kamara never really got it. Now, it helped that they lost their center, you know, in the second series, and they weakened two positions by moving their starting, you know, guard to center. And so that helped a little bit. But nonetheless, it was a good changeup by Vic.
Yeah, I thought Jalen Carter set the tone for this entire game when you talk about going on the road, hostile environment, and you're the first one throwing the punch. And I thought he was the first one throwing the punch, not literally, but figuratively, and maybe some literally, out there Sunday. Talk a little bit about his play and how important that is going forward for this defense.
You know, I mean, honestly, I mean, he's got great, great potential. He could be as good as any defensive tackle in this league. Mm-hmm. And I saw him before the game. He was with his agent, Drew Rosenhaus. Like, I just felt like he was ready to pop. You know, and, you know, he was suspended for 5 plays the week before, I'm sure. Like, he wasn't happy about any of that. But he showed up. He destroyed Trevor Penning. He destroyed Cesar Ruiz in every phase, whether it was pass rush, Ike, whether it was, you know, penetrating on the run, mm-hmm. getting off blocks. Like, he just has freaky movement. and unusual strength and power. Like, not many guys. Fletcher was a very powerful guy. He didn't have the movement that this guy has. Now, yeah. Fletcher did it every week for a long time, 12 years, whatever. Like, he was a consistent player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right now, to me, like, he has to decide, I'm going to do this every week. Like, because he can. But it's up to him. Like, he has all the potential in the world to dominate on the interior. And I do think he sets the tone for everybody else up there, whether it's Milton or Jordan or Booker or anybody. Like, I do think he sets the tone because he's the most talented player,
yeah.
period. And, you know, you win games with your most talented guys, and he's a guy that can change whatever any team wants to do. I don't care if it's throwing it, running, whatever. He can change the direction that a team wants to go.
Man, you mentioned something that I had mentioned also yesterday about his potential and him reaching it and how it really is up to him making that decision every week, starting in preparation and practice, knowing what to do, practicing a certain way, and then taking it to that game on Sunday. I was fortunate to play with B-Dawg and T.O., two Hall of Famers right there. I saw the way they practiced. I saw the way they trained. It was different than everybody else, and it's no surprise as to why they were the great players that they were. You lined up across from him, buddy, was your teammate and Reggie, right? You were here with Reggie for a little bit, right?
I played with Reggie. Yeah, I played with him and against him.
Mm-hmm. What was that like when you see a person with that level of talent? Like, what? And from your point of view, explain what that's like to watch that type of greatness on a regular basis.
Well, you know, you don't want to be on the highlight reel of Reggie, you know, humping you. Right? You know, that's the first thing. You don't want to be on the highlight reel. I remember my brother was playing right tackle in Kansas City one year, and I just told him, look, this is what Reggie wants to do, and if you overset, you're going to be thrown right off the screen. And, like, he literally was in panic mode the night before, and I had a good game against him, but that's one. You don't want to be embarrassed, you know, mm-hmm. by Reggie. And, you know, number two, you know what kind of potential he has. And so if your techniques aren't perfect, if you don't have a game plan play to play, if you're not in the right spot, you're going to look bad. And I think the same thing is with Jalen. Like, he has that ability. Trevor Penning looked terrible. He looked serviceable the first 2 weeks. I think the late stemming bothered the Saints, and I think that's something that will bother any offensive line. It kind of disrupts the run game blocking assignment sometimes. But, you know, just from a talent standpoint, anybody that watches Jalen Carter's game last week and you're playing against him this week, you know, you're in Tampa right now, you know, you're looking at that talent. You're looking at him just come through the inside shoulder because he's a skilled pass rusher. He's going to get to your edge. He knows how to adjust. He can spin. He's got all the counters. So you've got to stay in front of that guy. Cody Mock is the right guard for Tampa. Like, that guy's the second-year player. He's witnessing the type of power because he goes up against Vita Vea every day. So that's the type of power that you're talking about here. Yeah. And you've got a short set. You can't give them much of a runway. They're going to walk you right back to the quarterback.
Baldy, over to the offense. After a couple of weeks of screaming for Dallas Goedert, they definitely found him. Is that as simple as deciding that you're going to make him a focus? Is that all they did to get him free the way that he got free?
Well, you know, New Orleans plays a lot of man coverage. You know, they did on the big splash 61-yard catch. You know, they caught him on a rub route in the middle of the field. And, you know, the Saints ran into each other. I don't know why they're on that coverage. You know, it's 3rd and 16. I don't understand it. But, you know, they play a ton of man coverage. And so they had their man beaters up. And, you know, it certainly, you know, helped them that, you know, A.J. was on the sideline. Devontae went out. Covey went out. I mean, he was the go-to guy, you know. And so they had to call his number. And that's one of the reasons why he had the numbers that he had. But, you know, they play a ton of man coverage. And he's good against him. You know, he's good, period. But, you know, he got featured basically like, you know, you're throwing a Paris Campbell. I mean, some of the guys out there, I'm sure, you know, Johnny Wilson, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I know who I'd be looking at if I was the quarterback.
For sure.
Some of those other guys are out there.
Speaking of the quarterback, I guess just a general, you know, view from you on the game that Jalen had and the turnover issue that keeps popping its head up.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, look, the throw, I mean, look, Tyrann Mathieu has 35 career interceptions. No safety has more. The guy is a thief. You know, I mean, he's sitting back there in cover two. It's not a great route at all by Devontae. It's no excuse. You're throwing it. It's third down. You got a field goal. You don't have to throw it there. There's no doubt you don't have to throw it there. There's a lot of things you can do. But, you know, he's your go-to guy right here. You know, Tyron wanted the ball more than he did. He beat him to the spot. I didn't think he should have thrown it there. The fumble, I mean, look, the offensive line is playing great. At some point, you're just holding it too long, and you can't carry it like that. They've got one legit pass rusher, and he knocked the ball out of his hands in New Orleans right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's you just can't be careless like that. There's times when you're going to lose a fumble. You're going to be in the pocket. You're going to be throwing it. You know, some elite rusher, T.J. Watt, whatever, is going to get – it's going to happen. But that's – I thought that was very careless. And, you know, he's got a – and it's on him, and he knows that. And you have to – you know, you got to get in his face and, like, you got to have two hands on that ball when you're breaking a pocket like that. Plus, you know, he was already at the five-second count of holding the ball. So, you know, you got to know that clock in your head. Somebody's going to get to you pretty soon.
This game in Tampa winnable?
Absolutely, but I mean, I think, you know, they've lost a lot of games down there. I know Lane Johnson, you know, hadn't won a game there in a while.
Yeah.
So, you know, you go in there thinking, it's about time to win one. Now, Denver went back there, you know, went down there and beat them last week, and they beat them, you know, in every which way. They got the ball to the wide receivers. They played great defense, and they shut Baker down. You know, you just watch last week's game, and you're like, yeah, it's beatable. But you watch Tampa the week before in Detroit, and you're like, that's a really good football team. So they've got two elite receivers, you know, in Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Baker loves to feed them. And this rookie, Jalen McMillan's a really good player. So, you know, and the offense line had played better until last week. So it's improved. They got a good center in there now, first-round pick. They've got good personnel. They play pass defense about as well as you could play pass defense. And they've been playing without some starters, but their corners – They challenge you now. They challenged Jared Goff. They challenged Bo Nix last week. Like, they're sticky and covered. So if you're going to win, you're going to have to beat good, tight coverage. I know that.
All right, Baldy. Appreciate you. Baldy joins us every Wednesday at 4 o'clock. Thank you, man.
Appreciate it, brother.
Yep, you got it, guys. Take care, man.
There he is, Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider Call is brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day. Be delicious. Coming up next... Jalen Hurts speaks. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Jalen Hurts will be speaking in moments. Curious to see if somebody asks him about the play calling, who he's listening to. So that'll happen in a bit. Now, Jack, you told me we're not sure when this is going to start. We do have Eagles Insider of the Year to do. Do we do that now?
So I think you get it out of the way now.
Okay.
Everyone that's down there knows the updated power rankings heading into the press conference.
Oh, that's a good one.
So that they know what's at stake.
Here it is. Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings.
Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings.
Oh, we had a shocking power rankings last week as Elliott Shore Parks skyrocketed to the top of the power rankings, the Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings, by being a whiny baby. He cried his way to number one.
Which I'm sure he appreciated.
Yes. It's not the who wears the
Embiid of the Eagles Insider of the Year.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Welcome to Sixers season.
Well, it's not the who wears the right suit at the right time of year power rankings.
Back to the power rankings.
Okay. So last week, Howard Eskin came in at number five. Chris from Middletown came in at number four. Ike Reese, three. Newspaper reporter at number two. And Elliott Shore Parks at number one. We have movement. We have movement. Staying at number five is Howard Eskin.
No. Are the King hanging in there?
Barely.
Barely.
He's in the corner. He's not. All he does is just defend Nick Sirianni.
Yeah.
Call everyone at WIP and fans idiots.
Idiots, yeah.
Now he's going at fans. I think that should drop him down even further. He's lucky to still be in the top five, in my humble opinion.
Well, attacking WIP personalities, but he's not doing it by name, so
although,
whatever.
Big growth last week.
Yeah.
I got reports he did not roll his eyes at every question that you asked.
He didn't, actually. He did much better at that. Did somebody actually mention that to you?
I believe it was you, but...
No!
So So he stays at five. And you know, in season is worm time for Howard. It's not insider time. Unless he's selling out Alshon Jeffrey. You know, it's mostly
still a classic moment.
It's mostly Tim Novakovic. So he stays at five. Now we have a new entry at number four, which means that somebody dropped out. At number four, Joe Santaliquido.
Again, why?
I have no idea.
What does the committee say?
That's where the voting came in.
Well,
Joe is at number four.
Well, he hasn't given us any bad reports.
No,
he hasn't. He hasn't been wrong once
but
this season.
He's like Tornado Shapiro.
Yes,
but I could feel Santaliquido lurking.
Yes,
there's a story.
When there's trouble,
story there lurking.
Well, when there's trouble, Joe is around. Joe writes the story that nobody else writes.
When he walks into the locker room, you know there's issues.
Coming in at number three, and if there hadn't been somebody who dropped out, I feel like this guy would have dropped. Chris from Middletown, he had the huge Devin White story.
Huge.
And then he had A.J. Brown being out. This week, even though he only reported the story to Jack, he was wrong.
Yes.
He said Isaiah Rodgers would be starting on the inside, and Quinyon Mitchell would be playing nickel.
Different.
On the outside.
On the outside.
Yes.
Quinyon on the inside.
Yes. Isaiah Rodgers on the outside.
Quinyon. Isaiah Rodgers didn't even play.
That's why he's...
Even when Slay got hurt.
Yes.
It was Ringo.
Yeah. So, and as a football guy myself, I said, well, that doesn't really make much sense, but I'll stick with Chris Middletown because he's my guy.
He is our guy.
Man.
He stays in the rankings. Not going to hit 1,000.
Chris, my vote would have had you out of the rankings. I just want you to know that.
Well, that's because he's hot on your tail. And you
well, yeah, and because you guys put so much credence into what he says. Yes, I'm holding him to a higher standard now.
It may or may not keep his rankings high, the fact that it's just driving you so crazy.
Yes.
Speaking of you, Ike Reese moves up one spot from 3 to 2.
Moved up. There we go.
Now, some
We're
might
not sure
say,
for what, but.
Yeah, some might say that.
O-line played well last week, man.
Okay, yeah.
I need credit for everything the O-line does.
Sure. Now, I will say, your boy, because he's not your boy because you're linked to him forever, but Mekhi Becton keeping out of that game with a little finger injury.
Yeah, I was a little irritated by that.
Dude, 6'8", 330. Yeah. What's your finger weigh? Come on.
Yeah, we don't need to hear about the finger. Yeah. But he's back. He was back at practice
he's
today.
Got
and he did
he's
say, he just said seconds ago, he expects to play Sunday.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, Mekhi. Dude's got a contract to earn. If there was ever a year that Mekhi Becton was going to play with an injury, it is this year.
Well, so. I wasn't sure. It's a Sunday. I wasn't sure where he was leaning.
So, Ike Reese, number two.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in at number one. This is the second time he's been ranked number one. The newspaper reporter. Which means...
Hold on, y'all left Elliot off the list, man.
Elliot falls completely out of the top five of Eagles Insider of the Year rankings.
So, I believe...
How do you go from number one to out of the top five?
The worm is back.
The worm's back. That's definitely a big one. And I believe the committee it has to take accuracy into account here. Mm-hmm. Let's just recap, okay? First off, all offseason, Jalen Hurts, or all training camp, no turnovers.
Start at the draft.
Okay, so wrong about the offensive line. We'll go back to there. By the way, all training camp, offensive line is going to be terrible.
Yep.
They don't have enough depth there.
Scaring everybody in the Delaware Valley over
Even
the O-line.
Even got Spike to be scared.
Got Spike to buy along, go along with him.
Lane Johnson went down, who traditionally, when he goes down, they suck.
All hell breaks loose.
Yep.
Yes.
And they were fine.
Yes.
They were fine. So I think he gets dinged for that.
Mm-hmm.
The Sirianni great practices, how in control he is, and then being horrible at this stuff on Sunday, even though he defends it, whatever. And the biggest egregious is whatever, you know what I'm trying to say. The most egregious thing he's done is the Jalen interceptionless streak, which is not transitioned over into the regular season.
Wow. I agree.
Look.
You hold on. I know
you
your natural instinct is to go. Yeah. You can't be, first of all, the nonsense about taking a guard in the first round was just outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, you don't go into training camp patting yourself on the back all the time about Jalen's great practices and the fact that he's not throwing an interception and what that's going to lead to. And when to make it even worse, you told us how great of a job. He was telling us Coach Sirianni had a great practice today.
Yes.
Yeah. What?
But he was number one after all that stuff. Look,
he wasn't really number one.
Well, look. Here's the thing with Elliott. I think this sounds personal from you two guys. You were talking about non-insider things that you were talking about his analysis of football. I don't, you know,
but he's so adamant about it.
He wears soccer jerseys to the Novacare.
Well, and that we don't even ding him for that. He should be. He should be penalized for that.
Major League Baseball in the Hall of Fame voting has a character clause. I think a little bit for Insider of the Year voting, a little bit of accuracy. He's 0 for 3 on the biggest issues on the team.
Yeah.
Well, all he's doing is writing about what he sees. He sees Jalen not throwing interceptions. He's writing it down. He's providing a service from inside. I just think it sounds like a little personal with you two guys.
I'm just saying he overwhelms us with his information.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's nonstop.
And who could forget that he's going to give Devin White 5 years, $110 million
he
after his first OTA.
Didn't even say that.
He is, sort of.
He's all Devin White up. Get a scoop. Tell me why he's not playing.
And how about the fact, this is the one that really gets me, he really went on his own crusade for 3 weeks trying to get Devin White and Bryce Huff
on
more
the field.
Snaps.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm just saying.
He's talking about Devin White as an outside edge rusher.
It's not Eagles an analyst of the year. It's insider of the year.
It has just to be accurate information.
You guys are being punitive for no. This is a personal thing. This is because Jack doesn't want to hang out with him at the concert. Mm. It's because you're in the same rankings with him. This is a personal
thing. He's not even in the rankings. He's beneath me.
This is the anyone who's listening who thinks that I control these rankings, I would never kept Elliott out of the rankings.
I'm just saying.
My vote did not have out of the rankings.
It's a lot of missed shots by Elliott. That's all I'm saying. A lot of missed shots, man.
The only missed shot I saw from him was wearing a light suit that is linen after Labor Day, as if he's not living in America where that is against the rules. So,
Elliott, out of the top five. How about that?
Committee took it all in.
Huge.
After Ike also complained last week about his not counting enough in the committee voting.
Yeah, kind of weird that all of a sudden Elliott's out of the top five that happened. So,
good to know I still got some influence.
So the Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings for this week. Number 5, Howard Eskin. Number 4, Joe Santoliquido. Number 3, Chris in Middletown. Number 2, Ike Reese. And number 1, the newspaper reporter. We will hear from Jalen Hurts. Hopefully somebody asks him, now that they know the power rankings, ask Jalen Hurts about the Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings. We will get to Jalen. Excuse me. I can't talk.
Go to OG Wade, man.
All right. I'll go to OG Wade. There we go. I feel better now.
Come on, OG.
Yeah, come on, man.
I ain't never seen nobody silent Spike like that. Boy, if I could be that damn hair in that throat.
But that is a big pause, man. Yes. Holy cow.
I'm sorry.
It's called a big dose of D.
That hammer is real, for real.
That's why you got a groom.
Listen.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
While we're all stomping on Jalen's grave, let's give him some credit for setting another record for the franchise. Game winning drives. How about that one?
Well, he's not the record holder.
Can we get an applause for that? Huh?
He set the record for game winning drives?
Not yet, no.
He's tied with Foles.
Yes. Sunday. Well, that's a record. It don't matter.
I didn't even realize that.
Game, baby. And let me tell you something. And you know what? I don't like the fact that you neutered Baldy, man. Hardy don't got no more bite in him no more. You got him quoting stuff that ain't even right. Talking about the Eagles need one down there. And
he forgot. You notice I didn't correct him, though.
Yeah, but in Baldy's defense, it's tough.
He watches a lot of tape,
32
bro.
32 teams.
In Baldy's defense, he's been neutered. He ain't got no more damn teeth. He took his teeth out of his mouth.
No.
Well,
that's another pause.
Neutered has nothing to do with teeth.
Yeah. Where do you think the teeth are? How do you think you neuter people?
Y'all took his teeth and his genitals. You know what I'm saying? He ain't got nothing left. And then you want that man to come on the damn show. Oh, we're sponsored by, yeah. You didn't neuter the damn man. No wonder you sponsoring him.
No, listen, Baldy and I are fine, man. First of all, and Spike being Don King over here every Wednesday. Baldy and I are fine, man. We're good.
Yeah. And then, hey, listen, and Spike, man, you with your little dirty stuff, man. You want to hump all over every damn thing. Somebody need to get you a statue in that damn station because you like to stand up when you do the show. So while you're doing your little nasty dance and everything, somebody needs to put this Joker in the damn room by himself. He's always talking some nasty stuff. I think he damn him and what's that boy? Our boy.
Come on, OG.
One that always talking about the girl.
Yoshi.
Yeah, Yoshi, my man, Yoshi. You know,
ooh, boy.
Y'all two need to, yeah.
Look, me and Yoshi are two sexy dudes who don't run from it. There's not really a problem with that.
Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of, if Jalen stops doing this, stops doing that. How about if Jalen stops winning?
You mean the coach? Coaches win, not quarterbacks. Teams win.
How about if he stops? Like Waldy said, he shouldn't have made that throw. Do you know that the throw was wide open? You know that all Smitty had to do was put his hands up, could have caught the ball, but he was so busy worrying about getting tagged up by Tyrann Mathews, he didn't even try to catch the damn ball. You know what I'm saying?
We're not doing the wins thing with Jalen. If we don't do it with Nick, we have to do it with Nick.
I'm talking about winning. I'm talking about the interception.
You said wins, though.
OG, you got to admit, got to stop turning the ball over. Got to.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
But what I'm saying, I will admit to that. But do we have to stop making throws that, because if he stopped making those type of throws, he lose the game against the Bills last year. Remember the one where he
got
out of the pocket
and
told the kids to go here? Wasn't it two men there? Wasn't we happy? Everybody throwing beers and everything. Yeah.
You know what, OG? If he throws some touchdown passes too, we can even out the interceptions. But again, fewer touchdown passes than Daniel Jones, more interceptions than Daniel Jones. Not a good number.
How many wins, Daniel Jones? How many?
We're not doing wins. We're not doing wins. He's a quarterback. We're not doing wins.
How many does team?
We're not doing wins. Yeah. We're not doing wins. Get out of here, idiot. Jalen Hurts speaks right after Jack does, and Jalen Hurts will talk much longer than Jack does here.
Probably.
Yeah.
We'll see, though.
Yeah.
You all know by now that I recently bought a certified pre-owned Honda Accord from Scott Honda in Westchester, which is right in my backyard and where I got my first car in high school. Scott Honda has been serving the area for generations, including my family, and now they've brought me into their family. So if you're in the market for a new or certified pre-owned Honda, then go where they make it easy to buy your next car. Scott Honda of Westchester, and now Scott Honda of Vineland, New Jersey. Visit ScottAutoGroup.com. That's ScottAutoGroup.com, and tell them Fritz sent you.
All right. Is Jalen up there?
No.
Oh, you lied to me. You told me he was going to be there.
He's in the process.
He's trying to wait till we go to Lean North.
He knows the Phil's play?
He's asking everyone, what time is first pitch?
What time is Lean North today?
Yeah, what time is first pitch? You know, at some point, OG will cop to a turnover that was Jalen Hurts' fault. Every interception, there is a excuse for every interception. And the Devontae one has truth to it, obviously. But if he gets away with a couple, then he's going to get dinged for a couple, too.
Sure.
It all evens out over time.
And he isn't blameless.
No.
In the interception. Even with that, you're still throwing it in the middle of the field with the safety sitting there. Like, you see the safety clearly sitting there. So he must have been hoping that Devontae gets under that route before Tyrann Mathieu. But Tyrann Mathieu is sitting right there in the end zone.
Yeah, he's there.
He's there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even Baldy, who defended Jalen that first week, that first argument, and I kid about you and him, but that debate that you guys had was Baldy defending him then, and Baldy actually didn't on this one.
No.
You know, he did say that Jalen's got to be aware of that, and, you know, interception is an interception.
Yeah, well, they moved the worm to someone else.
Baldy has a worm?
Well, the worm. Well,
Baldy doesn't have a worm.
No.
He's covering every team.
Yeah. It's a lot of worms.
Early in the season, I thought there was some worm allegations.
Well, there were.
Well, that's probably just more or less
Jalen worm allegations.
Yes, and focusing on a win more than it is anything else. That's why I kind of sensed Baldy was coming from. Like, hey, they got the win. He made some other big throws. We were, and I rightfully too was upset about the careless throws.
Sure.
That you didn't need to make.
We will get to Jalen Hurts as soon as he talks, which will be momentarily. Aaron in Mount Airy, I might have to cut you off for Jalen, but until then, time is yours.
Yeah, I'm bigger than Jalen.
Yeah,
for real. Yeah. What up, A?
What's up? Man, listen, you talking Hurts, and I heard, like, and we know Ike, he gonna defend the quarterback. That's Ike's role, and I dig it. But that called yesterday.
Wow.
What's that?
I didn't say anything.
They're really starting to go after Ike Reese now.
I caught a stray. I caught a stray there for some reason.
He did.
But I'm going to make it quick so Jalen will cut me off. My man from Sweetsboro yesterday, he really got to be my skin. Like, listen, man, we can't say we got the best weapons in the league. We got the two of the top 10 receivers. Let's be two top 12, top 10 receivers. And then every time Jalen Hurts throws interception, well, you know it wasn't really his fault, right? Do we got the best weapons or not? Because every interception can't always be their fault. I don't care whose fault it is. The interception was thrown. And if you're not throwing 35 touchdowns in a season, you cannot be a double-digit interception thrower. Because you're not putting the ball up enough for you to throw all the interceptions. Like, it boggles my mind that we always want to make excuses for Jalen Hurts' play.
You know what I think it is, Aaron? You know what I think it is? I think in everyone's heart, they would love if he was the guy they hoped he would be. And I think there is a sort of a self-defense mechanism where people want to believe, and it almost hurts to think that, no, I didn't mean that, it almost hurts to think that, oh no, the quarterback who we thought would be the, you know, perennial MVP candidate for a decade, that there are signs that he might not be that. And I think that's where I think it comes from, honestly. I think it's so hard to find a good quarterback. And we had so many years in between Donovan and, you know, and now
Carson.
Well, we even had the year Michael Vick seemed like he was going to be it. Mm-hmm. And Nick Foles seemed like he was going to be it. And we had Kevin Cobb in there who had a moment.
He never seemed like he was going to be it.
He had one good game.
We hoped he was going to have. We actually had a month. I think he was player of the month.
Yeah. But isn't there a Cardinals game in there? I think he threw four touchdowns or something like that. So I think it's just like this self-defense mechanism where people just don't want to be hurt again.
No, that's cool. That is fine. I Jalen Hurts will not. I've been a fan of the Eagles before Jalen Hurts was even born. So I'm going to continue to be a fan of the Eagles when Jalen Hurts decides to retire. If he decides to retire, Eagles. Are we Eagles fans or not?
Yeah.
Are we Eagles fans or not?
Yeah.
So we. So,
you got to support the quarterback.
And I support Jalen. I only talk like this to y'all.
No.
Anybody else, I support him. But he has to stop turning the ball over. That is our it's not Nick Sirianni getting his hands dirty in the offense. Like, it's not the passing up the points. I defended that to my non-Eagles fans homies, but to y'all, that was stupid. Like, but Jalen Hurts has to not turn the ball over for us to be successful. And like, we can't always, like, is it, I heard Ike say earlier, the coaches, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is it Nick Sirianni? Because he was the only person here last year from the offensive staff that has anything to do with the passing game when he started turning the ball over. And he's doing it again this year. So is it Nick Sirianni? Or is it Jalen Hurts?
I don't think it's the coach's fault. I don't think it's the coach's fault as to why he's turning the ball over. I'm calling for the coaches to maybe sort of rethink on how they want to run the offense centered around the passing game. I got one more game, A. I'm going to go through Tampa. And it better be a clean game, else I'm going to spend the next 2 weeks during the bye week and after talking about we need a game manager.
Listen, and I'm going to be at that game. I put out a lot of money for me and my son to go to that game.
Right. Oh, you going down to Tampa? Okay.
Yeah, I'm going down there. My son, they already they moved. Him and my oldest daughter moved down to Florida. So
okay.
So I'm flying down there, driving down to the game.
Cool.
Let him throw two interceptions in that game. I'm gonna meet him in the hallway after the game. I'm gonna meet him in the hallway after the game. Don't embarrass me out there, man. Do not embarrass me out there. I pay a lot of money to fly down there. Don't embarrass me by you throwing two. Listen, cause everyone I watch college football. I don't know a lot of people watch college football.
I'm with you. Yep.
He showed me this. What did he show you on college football? What did he win in college? He had the best receiver core.
He's always had a talent team around him. Always, yeah.
None of receivers won a Blue Ribbon Conference Award with him, but they won it with Tua. They won it with Mac Jones.
That's a good point.
Landon didn't win a Blue Ribbon Conference Award with him. So what did he show in college? So I'm just like, he's always done this. Since when? I don't know if he ever won in high school. I'm not trying to come.
Well, we all know the one playoff game he lost by 50 in high school.
Jack, you are.
Well, he got blown
a
out by. He got blown out by Burrow with the Oklahoma. He got benched for. Like, come on.
Well, he doesn't play defense.
Oh, here we go.
I heard someone mention something about with a quarterback sliding in the pocket. That the quarterback they mentioned was like 6'3". Jalen Hurts is probably 6 foot at best. He can't do it. Like he need lanes to throw the ball. He's not that tall. So all that pocket movement we talking, he needs to move side to side because he's too small. But we got to start shifting the pocket.
All right, Aaron, we got to go because we got the guy you're talking about.
Yes,
Jalen Hurts is talking now.
This week for some of his decision making, you obviously get a unique perspective as one of his players. Can you kind of give us behind the scenes look on what Nick's like as a head coach, and especially during maybe some turbulent times?
I've been really focused on just attacking every day, and I think this team has been the same way. And Nick's putting his best effort forward in doing that, you know, and he's doing a great job in leading, delivering a message. And in the end, we just have to stay together through any moment, you know. I mentioned it in the game. I mention it all the time, but, you know, just not riding waves and keeping the main thing, you know, that's what we're focused on, and that's what I'll try and do to, you know, lead us in that way.
David, it seems like you play Tampa like every year. It's almost like they're in the NFC East, it seems. You know, you play them so often.
Yeah.
How much does that familiarity help you going forward here today?
Well, I think it's been different. It's been different every time we've played them. Different time of the year, different moment, you know, different offense, different approach. Philosophy, if you will, and so I got a ton of respect for him, Coach Ty Bowles, and what he does. He creates a lot of great opportunities for his defense and his team, and they're a really good offense as well. So, you know, we just gotta come and execute, play clean football. Gotta come and execute and play clean football versus a team like that.
After we've talked about the ability to pick up blitzes so much in recent history. Going against that defense, are you eager to see how you fare against them?
I'm just excited for another opportunity to play this, you know, this week. It's a great opponent, a great challenge. We just want to go out there and give our best.
Do you feel like you're in a better position to handle those this year?
Yeah, I think I'm wiser. I'm older. More season in some areas, and I think that helps us.
After the win there in the regular season last year, you referenced
the different things that I've learned. You know, with the new staff.
Sorry. After the win in the regular season, you referenced the playoff game the first time around, saying it was a feeling you had not forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a similar sentiment to the playoffs last year?
Yes and no. I don't know that I can explain why, but yes and no.
You like to say you either win or you learn. So can you say what you learned from that game last year that when you and as you look back on it through the offseason and even as you get ready this week?
It's hard for me to reflect on it right now. You know, this is a new team we have, a new groove we have, and I think about the most important thing, not the past, not the future, but what about right now. And I think about the identity of this football team we have, and I can't tell you what that is. I can't tell you what that is because, we haven't had our nucleus together to really go out there and create that. And so the beautiful thing is that everyone has opportunities in these moments. And as you see last week with the opportunity guys had and stepped up. And regardless of what it looks like, you know, just want to play team football and play together and find ways to win. That's what it's about.
What's the benefit of having a veteran like Paris Campbell on the practice squad that you can use during games?
Yeah, I just think his professionalism when he comes into work, his will to learn, how invested he is. You can see that clearly, as I said, those times where we've had to build that chemistry. You know who your guys are, but you never know when your opportunity and your number is going to be called. And, you know, I just think guys have done a great job of stepping up, and I have a ton of trust in all of those guys. You know, I think it was it's a funny moment to me, and I wouldn't have acknowledged it in the huddle. But in the huddle, I looked in the huddle one time, and you know, I saw so many different faces. But the game goes on. You know, it's truly a next man up mentality, and that's a testament to the work that everyone puts in this building.
Tahani was talking last week about how you and him are still kind of working on the chemistry and your timing. How long does that take? I mean, like, you know, he came so late in camp, you didn't get a ton of reps with him. You still haven't had a ton of reps with him. So now you've got guys in the huddle that are new guys. Yeah, how does that process work?
I think that's all a product of what the identity of your team is, you know. And we've got guys coming in, and you know, we know what their roles are. You know, it can look a different way each week. And so I think everybody just has to be willing to learn, willing to do their part in that moment, and being selfless and doing what's best for the team. And Jahan's a guy that can obviously help us in a ton of ways.
Yeah, I respect where you're coming from with Next Man Up, but...
I'm sorry?
I respect where you're coming from with Next Man Up. But A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith are obviously unique players.
Mm-hmm.
Does the offense need, for lack of a better term, does it need to be reinvented or changed if those guys aren't out there?
Reinvented and changed, I don't think those are the words. I think that everybody is here and has something that makes them great. And so it comes down to putting them in positions to shine in the places that they excel.
Jalen, do you feel like you've become more of a vocal leader to this point in the season? And if so, you know, what's the reasoning behind it?
That's a question, man. That's a question. I don't do well with those type of questions. I gotta talk about myself, but I just, you know, I definitely come in and you know, I just try and be in the moment with everything, and obviously I know there are a lot of eyes. And I know I set the pace, you know, and ultimately you just want everybody to know the vision. You want everybody to know the vision and know that everybody role matters. And that's communicated by action, that's communicated by work, the time that you put in, the extra meetings that we're having, and then obviously just speaking and communicating, you know. Ultimately, you know, people want to play with people that play hard and are the great teammates. And I think I've just tried to, you know, be the best I can be for the team, be the best I can be for the team, and do that.
You've had so much success with the conventional tush push brother stuff, whatever. Do you ever not want to run the variation just because you've been so successful? And how did that conversation go on the 4th-and-1? It was a long conversation with Nick before you ran that.
No, it's just a matter of executing whatever is called. I'm okay with whatever whatever gets called from coach and Kellen. It's just a matter of making it happen and executing. Came up short there.
Why do you think that one didn't work?
I'm sorry?
When you looked at it, why did you think that it didn't work that particular?
It just was not good execution, not good alignment. So
I don't know how you are in production meetings, but. I know you look for different places to learn. Tom Brady's calling the game this week. Is that an opportunity for you to pick his brain to learn in the production meeting?
I don't know that he's allowed to do those.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
So, last one. As far as like Johnny Wilson goes, he's a pretty unique receiver being that tall. Do you throw a ball any differently to somebody that size? Do you throw it up higher? I mean, how do you account for that?
Well, you just try and get it to him.
All right, that's enough. The guy's tall, do you throw it higher?
Fire.
I know we all got to get
that question.
I know we all got to get a question in. And we kill Elliot, and Elliot asked the first question, asked a good question. We kill Elliot for not being there, but you don't need to ask a question to prove you were there. How do you get it? Do you throw it to Johnny Wilson higher? The guy's like 6'8".
Yes. Yeah, he aims lower.
No, I'm going to throw it lower.
Yeah.
Was that Richie? Was John Richie at the press conference? Richie the other day. I kid you not.
Oh,
what happened?
Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I love Johnny Wilson. Come on, man. He's the fifth receiver. Relax.
All right.
Anytime touchdown.
This
Sunday.
Week, I know. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got to get over Johnny Wilson.
Coming up next.
What do you mean, man?
He's got brick hands.
Coming up next, we have Jack. What's coming up with the
I don't
top
know
five?
Where his
five?
Disdain comes for certain players, man. Yeah.
It's not his thing. I don't need to hear about how he can't catch. He got drafted in the sixth round.
I told you he's too tall.
He's too tall. Anyway, Anyway, just biggest questions I have in life right now.
Biggest questions in life?
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
All right, so that is next in the top five and five, and then we'll get you ready for the Phil's final game with the Cubs for Fan Appreciation Night as well with leading off. That is all next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.